Why don't we begin with our Patreon members today, and a big thank you and a shout out to them. Our project managers, Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fata, and Zayner. There are only ever 5 members of the project manager group, by the way. There's room for one more. G Money and Marcus Von B are our mug members. And thank you as well to our Turkey Skin Luggage members, Mark D, Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Burnsy 79, Kevin Waghorn, Martin Peddle, Mike Ennis, Randy Spence, Retromags Brian. Thanks to all of you guys and to all our Patreon members and sponsors for supporting the program.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. It is another episode of the SWP. Got lots coming up. A little late to the game. Trying to go off weekly here, but schedules. You know schedules. We all got them. So grab yourself a drink and settle in for the next 30, 40 minutes or so here on the SWP. It's Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. I'm in Ottawa. James is in Edmonton, and we're talking sports and whatever, and there's certainly been plenty since we last got together. James, how are things?
Says Stevie. I'll tell you what, before we get into that, you know, whatever time we were supposed to record today, I don't want you to worry about it. Okay? I think we said whatever, fucking 1 o'clock or something. And then it didn't work out. You had other stuff to do. So if you do that, Steve, another, let's say 712 times, if you don't meet the thing, we'll be even. Okay. Sorry, man. I'm like, holy fuck, dude.
The old TSN 1200 days. Even when you did answer the bell for our 5:30 start time for the radio show back in the day, you might not necessarily make the bell for, say, I don't know, segment 2 or 3. Invariably passed out during a commercial island out on the staff lounge couch. So good times, good times.
People, you know what? We used to, it's because you did it, I think, and it was hilarious. So I was constantly trying to catch up on sleep. You know, Stevie, you go 4 or 5 days without sleep. You need a little nap, okay, once
in a while. Of course.
And you can almost sleep standing up, you know, and I'd run out to that couch and, you know, it'd be a 6-minute break or whatever. And I'd actually fall asleep and then they, you know, and then come and rustle me up. So we had to do a promo or something after the show one day, and I was fucking dead tired. And so we're kind of standing around, right? There's always these, okay, we'll video this. I think it was I don't know what it was for. And so we're in this room and we got to take a break for them to, I don't know, adjust lighting or something like that. So I lie down on my back on the floor. Okay.
Okay.
And I fall asleep in about 6 seconds. And you took a bench, okay? It had a normal height bench, but it had a shelf on the bottom of the bench about maybe a foot high, okay? So this bench is over my face now, okay? This thing is about 4 inches from the top of my head. And then, so you placed that over that, and then you came in and went, Jimmy, come on, let's go! And wham! And I could jump.
That does not sound like me.
Yes, it does. And I thought I got snipered, you know.
Well, you know what? Now that you're talking about this and bringing back old memories for stuff like this with you passed out in the lounge there, it may be the answer to your sleep woes, because you say that here in 2024, you sleep like garbage.
I do, yeah.
So maybe what you do is agree to take an internship at a local radio station.
No.
You don't get paid or anything. You don't have to do any work. You just pretend to go in and then just go in and fall asleep on the staff couch. And yet that you will definitely get a solid 12 hours in that scenario, because I never once saw you fall asleep on that couch where I said, that's the best sleeper that Canada's ever seen. Like, just out like a light, sleeping hard. Maybe that's your answer right there. You need to be on a radio station couch thinking you're shirking your responsibilities to your craft.
Well, you know what? You're onto something. I might go slip into a few Bell stations.
Oh, boy, there's empty rooms.
Hey, there's some room there. There's some room there.
Oh, my
God. Bunch of people got let go. Stuntman got... You know what? Good. I'm glad. I'm glad all of them got fired, and I hope they never get another job.
Well, you beat them out the door by 10 years.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course.
But, yeah, I'm five. Yeah, Bell Media has basically fired everybody who's behind a microphone right now at some point.
Yeah,
it's been at like 4,800 people last week were fired. They're selling off something like 40 some radio stations. And what was weird about it was that I don't know if Bell Media employees got wind of this or not here in Ottawa, but here at, on the Move Morning Show with Stuntman Stu, who was for many years, well, not many, but at least a couple of years, you, me, and Stu were the show T-Gore, three guys on the radio on TSN 1200 radio in Ottawa. You have this big layoff a week ago, almost, it was a week ago today, I think. And you go like 5 days thinking, okay, another round of layoffs, but I'm safe for now. And then they just get just cut out at the knees 5 days later. Like, it's like these suits at Bell Media are basically like little kids pulling the legs off of spiders one at a time.
Yeah, right.
It's just, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to make money and appease shareholders. I get that with corporate Canada and everything, but that seemed a little gross to me the way they handled that particular one.
Yeah, there was like something like, I don't know, 45 stations they were going to sell, shut down permanently. They did it here, TSN 1260. Mm-hmm. They just shut that thing down. It was an all, you know, it was same as the station there, same format. You know, but everyone's freaking out, right, Stevie? And I got to thinking about it, that everyone's going sideways, going, oh my God, so there'd be none of this around anymore, and there'll be no radio and no TV and all this stuff, you know, and the answer to that is no, there'll still be as much of it, just in a different format.
Yeah.
So I think this thing,
All online.
All online. All streaming, right? So you're not losing, like I know CTV, everyone's freaking out going, oh my God, you're going to miss the afternoon 3-hour news thing or something, right? Right. They shut their national, I don't know which national show. So everyone's going, that's terrible. Bell Media is awful and all that stuff. And I don't think they are. I think they're doing what they have to do. But, you know, if they could afford it, that's where everyone will argue, I guess, you know, that they would, you know, they would keep it going. But ratings have to be down since podcasting and streaming. But it'll come back. It'll come back that they'll be all sort of podcasts, Stevie. Maybe we'll get picked up, Stevie, by Bell Media, you know. That's what I, so don't panic. You know, it's not like you're waking up today and going, oh my God, we can't watch the Sens anymore. You know, they're not on television. You know, they're not going to be on Rogers or Sportsnet or TSN or wherever you watch your sports, but you will.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be options, folks. Okay. So don't panic, you know?
Oh yeah. It's just a change. It's a transition we're in the midst of, and it just happens just as, you know, rotary phones disappear and get replaced by something else where we have to walk around with a phone in our pocket now. And it also has a camera on it. And we don't have watches anymore because of the phone. It's just an evolution of technology. And the reality is the younger people, let's say 30 and under, our kids just don't listen to radio. The terrestrial radio format in that market is for the most part dead. They just don't ever turn on the radio anymore. And as people die off, there's no one coming along to replace them as radio listeners. And I think if I have any criticism, it's that Bell Media has expedited it. If this thing were a mom and pop shop and being run as such without having to appease shareholders, I still think that, revenues would creep downward for the people that own the radio station, but you wouldn't necessarily have to make these wholesale brutal decisions at this stage of the game. You've still got a pretty hardy radio audience between the ages of 30 and, I don't know, 80, I don't think that it needs to be a fast-tracked to the cemetery the way it currently is.
Right. You know, I was watching, there's a great show on, I think it's on Netflix, and it's about the production of We Are the World.
I've seen a bit of that. Yeah.
So That was Lionel Richie. By the way, watch it. And I thought Lionel Richie was always just a singer, songwriter, sort of bubblegum guy, and he's way more than that. Okay, he was the guy behind that whole thing. From this documentary, if you watch it, him and I don't know.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson was there. They tried to get Stevie Wonder involved. It was a production guy.
Quincy Jones.
Quincy was the guy who sort of directed it and produced it. It was kind of an agent who put it all together when they decided that Africa was, you know, was just terrible with hunger and starvation. So that's how it came together. And so they got the who's who, as you know. Okay. And the way they did it was, it was the same night in Los Angeles. They did it all in one night, Steve, from right after the American Music Awards were on that night in LA. And so they looked at it and said, fuck, all these guys are going to be in town, Springsteen and Kenny Loggins and all, you know, and all the others who were superstars.
Right.
And they got them, you know, it saved them a bunch of expenses and travel and all this stuff. And so they pulled it off. They got it together, right? And when you and I look at it, speaking of changes, you'll know everybody, okay? You'll know Cyndi Lauper and Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and Willie Nelson and on and on and on and on, right? And you'll be amazed that they got all these people together.
Right.
If they did it today, Stevie, I bet I wouldn't fucking know 70% of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a sign, legit, to your point. Things change, man. Things change, right? They didn't have a bunch of rappers, Stevie, doing that thing back. It was in 1985 that they did it.
Right.
And so I walked away from it going, imagine if they did this thing. It was super cool. And it's all about how they did it. And it's, you know, it's an hour and a half deal. But
well, it's part of it is our age, too. I think everybody who gets deep into middle age, they stop following the trends because they see over their lives, decade after decade, they see the trends and the fads come and go. And so we stop, I think, being as ravenously attentive to the pop culture trends. Who are the latest artists? Who's got the hits on the radio?
Right.
When that was out, you and I were much younger men and we were more into that stuff. And so we knew everybody in that thing. And it's the same with like Saturday Night Live right now. I'm looking at the cast. I'm like, I don't know who any of those guys are.
Right.
It's part of aging and the world is different for sure. But that was a really good documentary. There's a couple of funny moments in it where Michael Jackson, who's one of the organizers, like you said, I had no idea Stevie Wonder was so flighty. Like they're like trying to call him this historic musical event. Right. Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson are trying to reach him and they can't get a hold of him because they want him to help write. They want him to obviously be one of the key guys singing. And he shows up finally after 2 weeks after they've written the song. He shows up going, okay, so are we going to start writing this? He goes, no, that's way in the rearview mirror, Stevie. What are you doing there?
Yeah. What are you, blind?
Yeah. And the other one was the moment. Because Bob Dylan,
Stevie Wonder blind joke, Steve.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Yeah.
What are you, blind, Stevie? Okay.
But Bob Dylan also, who, you know, I've always thought is one of the most overrated musicians in history. But he's there but he's so shy and stuff. He's got to sing in a separate room. And I guess at one point,
lost.
Yeah, exactly. And there was another artist, Prince, I think it was, who didn't show at all. Also very shy. And Huey Lewis ends up taking the part that was meant for Prince. And Cyndi Lauper also got kind of a solo moment as well. And they sing back to back on that, Huey Lewis and Cyndi Lauper. And they're both so off key. It's unbelievable. And they actually, it was a meme that was going around on social media. And Michael Jackson looking back at the two of them like, what the hell are these two?
What are
you
doing?
What are these two amateurs doing here?
Anyway, you know what else was cool? Yeah, you're gonna laugh when you see Bob. You know, it's Bob Dylan's turn. By the time they get to him, you're hip to what's going on here. They're showing. They do it all. You know, it's many, many takes. It's many, many layers they have to do for harmonies and the singing in unison and then solos. And so everyone's banging off their solos. You know, Springsteen was unbelievable. And then I think Diana Ross, Dionne Warwick. You know, and then it comes time for Bob Dylan, right? And he goes like this. Okay, Bob. In 3, 2,
the world.
And what was really cool is Stevie Wonder. So he's freaking out. Like he's just so nervous and he can't do it and they don't know what to do. So he asked Stevie Wonder to play it on the piano. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is Stevie Wonder is an unbelievable impersonator.
Right.
So not only does he get on the piano and says, here's the lick. but he sings it like Bob Dylan, you know? And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he says, here's what you do. And that sort of set it off. Anyway, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Really good, but.
It's amazing it came off at all because you had so many egos in there who were all ready for their close-up and their solo and stuff. And so many of these big artists of the day never got them because there's only X amount of, there's so many people and there are X amount of solo moments in the song that can go around. And so they end up in this sort of choir, I guess, in the group singing part with We Are the World in the chorus. And that must have gone over like a lead balloon for a lot of them.
What? Well,
Sheila, have any idea how many records I've sold? How dare you?
Right, right. Sheila E., she was the drummer, right? Who was she the drummer for?
She was, I think, Prince's love interest for a while, too.
That's right. So she gets invited to this thing, okay? And she would be the one you'd look at going, okay, like there were two people that I couldn't understand who were there. One was Dan Aykroyd, okay, although he can't sing. And the other one was her. I'm going, this is like a C-clubber here, okay?
What are you doing here?
And yet they interviewed her a ton in this thing.
Right.
And then she gets pissy. You know, going, well, I was supposed to do this and was upset and, you know, they should have had me singing and they, no, Sheila, we'll go with Stevie. We'll go with Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. She was the carrot. Like she was the carrot to get Prince there. That's the entire reason that she was invited.
Right. And she made that known.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said they used me.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Ottawa area, I recommend the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Glenn helped our family sell a home a few years ago. He set aside a budget to help us out with painting, cleaning, and even updating our ceiling lights for us. We got multiple offers, and the home sold for well over asking price. Call the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team today at glennwalton.com. Did you see the Kanye West ad during the Super Bowl? And we'll get to the Super Bowl here in a second.
I forget if I did.
It basically, he paid $7 million for an ad. And, well, let me just play it here so the good listener can, because you're always expecting, you know, a $7 million ad that you paid to have broadcast during the Super Bowl. Man, that's going to be some kind of special commercial. It was the worst ad that I've ever seen. He basically is in his car. On his cell phone while he's driving along, the lighting's terrible, the audio's terrible, he spends 30 seconds of babbling, but he does spit out his website, and the thing costs $7 million.
He says, no.
Oh, go to my website, and what do I got there? I got shoes, and like every that he's got going there is about $1 million for ums. And all he said was, I got shoes and, that's it. And that was the end of the ad. So here it is. This is Kanye West's $7 million ad during the Super Bowl.
And it's my commercial. And since we spent all the money on the commercial spot, we actually didn't spend any money on the actual commercial. But the idea is I want you to go to yeezy.com, YEEZY.com, and I'm going to write it at the bottom of the screen, and I got some shoes, and that's it.
Yeah, so that $7 million ad, you think, what a waste of money when you hear how pitiful that was. He wasn't even making an attempt to do a sell job on the audience or be entertaining or do anything. That $7 million ad, I think I read somewhere he basically got $200 million in revenue and sales from that ad.
Correct? Oh, Jesus.
Crazy.
He's no dummy.
No.
He's a racist, but he's no dummy.
Yeah. He's got a lot of weird ideas.
Anyway, Stevie, I took Kansas +2.
Well done.
Thank you.
What'd you think of the game?
I thought it was fantastic. I did. I thought it was a great game. Yeah, I thought
it took a while to get going, didn't it? I thought a little bit.
And I think it was the kicker. It went to overtime, as everybody knows. And the regular overtime rules, Steve, are you're each going to get a possession unless the first team to get a possession scores a touchdown. Right? Then the game's over.
That's the old rules.
That's the old rules. Is it not still the rules for regulation?
No. Even if you score a touchdown now, it's been in place for 2 or 3 years. If you score a touchdown now, the other team still gets an opportunity to get the ball, which is why San Francisco winning the coin toss and electing to receive was absolutely, in my opinion, moronic.
Oh.
And you want to know why?
Well, just make sure I have the rule correct. So now I thought it was the same thing. If they don't score, but I think in the Super Bowl, though, they play out the whole quarter regardless, don't they?
No. It's one possession apiece. And they may have to use, if it's still tied, they'll use the whole quarter. And if it's still tied, they'll start a new quarter. But the reality is the rule now is both teams have to touch the ball, have possession one time. And once mm-hmm. both teams have the possession, then the next score wins. And that's why it was so crazy that San Francisco won the toss and elected to receive. And the reason for that is now they go down blind knowing what will be the winning score, right? They're now on fourth and five, for example. So right. you're going to kick the field goal to make sure you get some points on the board. But then, that's effectively what happened. They got 3 points, but now Kansas City, by getting second, they know what they need to do, and they're now playing four down football. They're not going to think about a field goal anymore. So I think there's a big advantage to now, with the new rules in the NFL overtime, to actually kicking off and giving the other team the ball first. And you could see it on the sideline. Kansas City's running around the sideline. They wanted to receive. They won the toss and they wanted to receive. Let's go, boys.
All right. Right. So, now I get it. Yeah. Now I get it. Yeah. Not a bunch of penalties, Stevie. I don't think there wasn't a bunch of, I don't know. I watched every minute of it. I had 4,000 on it, so I had to watch it.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I bet a few $100 though, Stevie.
Atta boy.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I thought all of it was good. I thought the halftime show was good. I thought it started really slow. Mm-hmm. With Usher, I was like, this is fucking a little slow, but then it revved up, you know, it was super cool, I thought.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I was at a Super Bowl party where most of the people were around my age and were like, okay, I certainly know Usher, and I've heard of about maybe 5 of these songs as he goes into this big medley, but most of us thought, I don't know, these are all 15-year-old songs, and I wasn't that smitten with them to start with. And I texted my 24-year-old daughter, who was thinking, oh, that was awesome. I'm surprised to hear you at your age saying that you're all about it.
Because the 24-year-olds relate to me, Stevie.
Mm.
Right? You forget about that.
That must be it. You can dance, though. I got to say, you can dance.
And you know what else, though, Stevie, that people, when Usher did this, what they don't know is the time he spent with the Minnesota North Star.
Nice.
Right? But people forget that, Stevie.
Okay. Y'all, you have made 1% of our audience so happy right there. That's nice.
Yeah, I know.
Those who like it a lot.
Exactly. The Taylor Swift thing doesn't bother me at all. I don't stand the hatred. I don't understand the hatred for that girl. I think she's super cool. I'm a Swiftie.
Me too. You know, me too.
I she's done so much. She's so nice. She's so generous. She's so pure. You know, she's worth $1 zillion and is going to be worth another zillion by the time the show's over. I saw a thing on Bill Maher last night. The guy was, you know how sarcastic he is.
Yeah.
Right? But he wasn't sarcastic when he said, I think Taylor Swift is so big that she could change the outcome of an election. Right?
I think so.
Like if she ever stepped up and said, Donald, I'm not voting for Donald Trump, he might not have a shot, you know?
Well, we know the celebrity would win. I think, you know, Donald Trump, if he's done nothing else, he hasn't, but one thing he's done is prove that celebrity means everything. Taylor Swift, with no word of exaggeration, hyperbole, if she decided she was going to run for president of the United States, she would win.
Yeah, like, and he'd be the vice president, Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Is
she going to dump him? Like, there's two moments.
She doesn't last very long with boyfriends, right? She
true. There's a good chance of that. But I was thinking that watching Kelsey eviscerate his head coach on the sideline, just absolutely screaming violently in his face in the middle of the Super Bowl, then combine that with the Super Bowl party where Travis Kelsey was up there. He's saying, "I got friends in low places." And he was like, it was like, Brett, I was expecting we went blues at some point from Brett Hull.
Yeah, yeah.
Same kind of drill. Yeah. But he almost passed out in the middle of the song. He was like wavering so much. He was so hammered. And I'm wondering how that plays with the very pure Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Everyone went, listen, I saw a post from someone. So that makes, you know, that head coach for Kansas is super smart, super cool. Like he could have taken that thing, right, and screamed at him, at Kelsey, and go, shut the fuck up, sit down, we got a game to play and all. He just fucking let him go, right? He just let him, I think, anyway, from what I see, you know. So he had a method to his madness. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and, so, and before you get away with from that, he actually, Kelsey talked about it on his podcast that he does with his brother. And he said, yeah, later he took me aside. Listen, man, I know you're fiery and I love that about you. You got the energy, the passion, and I get that. And it doesn't bug me at all. You're a competitor, but I got cameras on. I got cameras on me and the optics of that aren't good. And he handled it the way a big league, excellent professional coach would. He took him aside and dealt with it.
Right. Super cool. What was, I think, stupid is someone put up a post after that showing the, you know, the viral shot, right, was him with his mouth wide open like a raging lion, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was screaming at him.
Yep.
And that thing goes all over the world. Someone's saying, if you're Taylor Swift, I'd be very careful. Obviously, this is looking like something that could be domestic violence.
Whoa.
Whoa. You know, that. She's going to set herself up for this guy who obviously needs therapy. You know, I thought that was stupid.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I thought that was stupid.
Yeah, but it's amazing how a still photo, this 0.1 seconds in time that appears on social media, people make so many judgments. It's like everybody relax a little bit. But it's true. Like everything you think about, I saw this online as well. Vladimir Putin, not a real well-liked guy in the world these days. If you look at somebody put together a medley of him at various international conferences where he's meeting with other heads of state and he's constantly putting his hand out to shake their hand and they refuse to do it. And he just has to put his hand down like, oh, like they just totally stiff him because of that 0.1 second of them shaking hands, the world will immediately see that still image and assume that person A is completely politically on board with what Vladimir Putin is doing. People read too much into those quick shots.
Yeah. By the way, Kansas City won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So call Kelsey wrong. Okay. Call Kelsey wrong for whatever he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked it. When do we get to the absolute atrocity, Steve, of the empty net goal where the guy took a slap shot?
Yeah, Ridley Gregg,
he slap shot it into the net,
man. Slap shot into an empty net. Let me ask you, like, there's really only two ways you can go on this. If I'm to pull Jim Jerome here, should Ridley Gregg spend the rest of his life in prison, or should he be hanged for his crime?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know what? Are you kidding? Like, there was a guy I saw something today about. The protocol for scoring empty net goals. It was hilarious, you know?
Yeah, that's Jeremy from How To Hockey. He's put together a whole bunch of different ones.
Yeah. It's just the stupidest thing. Who cares how he scored that? Who cares how he fired it into the empty net? I don't get why that would piss anyone off at all. I don't, you know?
To that level. I mean, I would probably.
It's a winning goal, right? It's a game slammer, okay? It's a game slammer, and. You know, there's been a few, Stevie, you know, there's been a few where guys miss, right? Where they try to feather it in there and they miss. Yeah. I mean, that was a little over the top with having to make sure it goes in. you know.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I've never talked about this before, but if you actually look at Ridly Greig when he takes the big slap shot, he doesn't get all of it. Like, he gets it, but it actually does a little bit of end-over-end fluttering, meaning he didn't wire it. It didn't stay parallel to the ice kind of thing, like, you know, zip it in there. He got a big piece of it, but imagine if he missed it a little more and it went over the net and over the glass or something like that. When you're doing something like that, that would be replayed forever in not a very good way whatsoever. But
yeah.
You got touchdown dances in the NFL. You've got slam dunks in the NBA, and everybody just stands there and watches it. I just don't understand why. Yeah. I mean, I would probably go over and say, fuck off. Get out of here. Shove him or something like that. You goof. But to roll over and cross check him in the side of the head and have so many people, particularly in Leaf Nation, suggest that that's okay.
Yeah.
You need therapy. You need therapy.
100%. 100%. So there's two things there. Disagree with the guy cross checking him in the face. Now you've harmed your team. Right. Did they give him a suspension yet? Have they decided?
He got five, but he's appealing it now.
Got five games?
Yep.
Wow. So there you go, you dummy.
Okay. So that's how they should hand them out. They should announce it that the NHL Department of Player Safety just don't have anything official. Just go, you got five games. There you go, you dummy.
Yeah. It's like, remember the blue collar tour? They did the thing on like the dumbest things, you know, like here's your sign, I think.
That's right.
And the one I heard the other day was fantastic, where a guy arrived at an airport and his luggage didn't show up. So he went to the, you know, the desk, right?
Yeah.
Where they,
yeah.
And he got up to the front and he said, I just, you know, I'm missing my luggage. It didn't show up. And the girl said, has your flight arrived?
Oh, come on. The internet glitched right at the punchline. Give me that again.
So he goes and says to the girl at Air Canada or wherever, says, my luggage hasn't arrived.
Uh-huh.
Didn't, you know? And she said, well, has your plane arrived yet?
I'm right here. What do you think happened?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
It's so funny, man. And I watched Maniscalco. Sebastian's at the pharmacy. He's saying, okay, so at the pharmacy, I hand them my prescription, right? And they look at it and go, oh, okay. That'll take us 35 minutes, okay? You're going to have to walk around the store. And he goes, 35 minutes? But it's right there. It's just 2 feet behind you right there.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, he's great.
Anyway.
His movie that he had, it's a dad movie. I forget what it's called, that he did with De Niro. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I've only heard, I wanted to see it, but the reviews are really, really poor, which is surprising.
Yeah. So I'm not going to, I heard that too. The other one is these, I think I've told you this before, when they're doing their Netflix specials, Chris Rock, when he did his, and Maniscalco did his, and so did this new kid. He looks like a model and everyone's raging about him.
Oh, I know the guy you mean. I saw him on a podcast. Yeah, he's pretty funny. Yeah. He does a lot of I don't think he does it anymore. He did a lot of sort of on the fly stuff with hecklers and going back and forth, but he's actually gotten away from that now. We did one last special all about that, and now he's doing some other stuff, but I know exactly who you mean.
Well, those three, okay? So that kid is really good. He's very talented. It's what they call spritzing. And it's off the cuff when you start to talk to people in the audience. I love it. I love it. I love when they see them do it. I love doing it myself. But that guy's like really good at it.
Matt Reif is his name.
Yeah. So Matt Reif, okay. Then he gets then he immediately gets a Netflix special. It's horrible.
Oh.
Okay. It's brutal compared to what he was. Okay. They get handcuffed, Stevie, I think. Sebastian Maniscalco's one. And then when he's in the tuxedo, that one, horrible.
Yeah, it was. I didn't think horrible, but I thought it was a big step down from what I'd seen to this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Totally. And Chris Rock, same thing. So these guys get kind of hogtied when they're when they get these specials, you know, that that you know, the only the, you know, Dave Chappelle, unbelievably good in his specials. You know, I love him. Same with Bill Burr, you know, but some of these guys are they're like they're too nervous. They it didn't flow anyway.
Bill Burr is still Bill Burr is still money for me. Chappelle is I don't know, he's dropped a couple of notches. I'm not really sort of on the same page as him anymore.
He's kind of weird.
Yeah. He's gotten out there a little bit for sure. But I heard 100% Fresh, Adam Sandler's new one on Netflix, I think it is. It's getting really good reviews, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one too. Well, with that, we'll take our leave. We had a lot of whatever today, not a lot of sports, but you know, we talked Ridley Gregg in the Super Bowl. Huh? What do people want from us? Yeah.
My Oilers tried to set the record before hadn't spoken. Yep. They had the 16 in a row. They didn't win the 17. So
they blew it.
There you go. There's your sports. Yeah.
They're still in pretty good
shape. I like giving sports updates, Steve, that people already have.
Oh. Well, this show would be right in your wheelhouse then, because the Ridley
Gregg
thing
happened. There's another comedian. I said, I got to tell Warnsey, there's another comedian where the guy says, I forget his name, and he says, you know what I can't stand?
What's that?
He says post-game press conferences.
Amazing.
Oh, it's amazingly funny, man. Is the guy's name Brian something?
It's Brian Regan.
Yeah, the best. Absolute best. I'm not going to give it away. Go check it out. Yeah.
Want me to play it right here?
Oh, play it right here, Stevie. Yeah, play it right here.
Done. So here's a little Brian Regan. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today on the SWP. Don't forget our website is stevewproject.com. Jimmy, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
You know what kills me? Post-game press conferences. They still haven't learned. You need to put a microphone on the people asking the questions. This drives me crazy. They have the table. They have the coach or the athlete sitting at the table behind a microphone, so they know about microphones. You're at home watching this waste of time. That was a coaching decision. Three, maybe four. Definitely. Complete waste of everybody's time. Waste of everybody's time. Wasting everybody's time. So if I was the athlete, I would give ridiculous answers. Nothing makes any sense anyway. Might as well have fun with it. Probably pterodactyls. Makes as much sense as what they're doing right now. They do that at police press conferences. When you need to hear what's happening, because something's going down, no one has figured out, you need to mic the people asking the questions. It blows my mind. You turn on your TV, the police chief's there, he's sweating. You're like, what's happening? This is what you're taking in at home. We don't know how they're all escaping. Nunchucks and flamethrowers. Yes, we think they're hiding in that neighborhood.